4. I believe the Lord has given me a word talking about the deception in the last days. So I'm going to start it right at verse 1. I think it's verse 1, yeah. Yeah, Jesus is here, and this is the Olivet Discourse, if you've ever heard that phrase. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives, in other words, and he's teaching on the Mount of Olives is all that means. But he's telling his disciples about the last days, and I believe we are in the last days, and we're coming across the last of the last days. I mean, I believe we're there personally. That I don't know what you believe, but I believe we're there. So this will teach us what's going to happen. Verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Pointing, you know, to all the buildings of the temple. So, you know, 2,000 years ago, right? For verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Then verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. So they're at the temple. And then they travel just, a few hundred yards or so, several hundred yards maybe, to the Mount of Olives. You can just walk right over there to the Mount of Olives right next to the temple. So they went over to the Mount of Olives and sat down. And the disciples came unto him privately. So who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. That's us, if you're a disciple, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, making Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. They came unto him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? That word world actually means age. It's not like the world's going to come to an end, like the world's going to explode or nothing. Like you see in some movie theater, the world explodes. No, it's not the end of the world. It's the end of an age, okay? It's talking about a duration of time, okay? So what's going to be the end of the age? So that's the context of everything we're going to be covering this morning and what Jesus is talking about. And so Jesus here is going to warn us some things. He's going to tell us, first understand he's talking to us, and he's going to tell us some things that are going to happen at the end of this current age that we're living in. Verse 4, we're going to drop down to verse 4, and it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay, first thing out of his mouth, take heed. Take heed, what does he warn us against? Deception, that no man deceive you. So this seems to be the most important thing. It's the first thing out of his mouth. And it's interesting that so many don't follow the very first thing. How many churches are teaching about the deception in the last days? There's actually not a lot. They have this kind of set of things that they do, but very few are warning people like Jesus warned us in the last days, take heed that no man to deceive you. So take heed means it's something you must do. That's the first thing we need to get. It isn't something that your pastor is going to do for you, or your Christian spouse, or your Christian parents, or your Christian friends. You're the one that has to take the action here. You're the one that has to take heed, and we'll get into what that means in just a moment. But understand, it's your responsibility so that you're not deceived, all right? It's great if your pastor's not deceived, but what about you? You need to know the truth for yourself, and we emphasize that often here. We emphasize, don't believe us, don't believe me, believe the Bible. And if I get it wrong, you stick to the Bible. Pastor gets it wrong, you stick to the Bible, right? It's Jesus. It's the Word of God that should be preeminent in your life. And that's what dictates what we believe and what we do. Number one, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, going down. For many, I underline that word, I highlight that word, many, it's very important, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right. First thing in this verse, many shall come in my name. What does that mean? They're coming in the name of Jesus. They're claiming to be Christians, to be sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in my name. Many. All right. He's talking about the deception, right? Then he says, they're saying, I am Christ. Now, I used to read this, and I don't any longer, but I used to read this to mean that they're going to proclaim themselves to be Jesus Christ. Like there's a man. And there's some people that do that. They'll walk around and say, I'm Jesus Christ. There was that David Koresh fellow said, I'm Jesus Christ, right? That happens. But the problem, it doesn't fulfill this verse because it says many will come saying, I am Christ. Well, that doesn't fulfill this verse, okay? There's not many people doing that. There are not many people that are following a David Koresh type person. That's not actually a problem in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where some guy walks up and says, I'm Jesus Christ, and everybody goes, oh, okay, we'll follow you. That doesn't happen often. It's very rare. I don't think that's what this is saying, and I'll show you what I think he's saying here. He's saying, number one, they're going to come in my name. They're going to claim to be sent by Jesus Christ, speaking on his behalf, right? But they're going to say that Jesus is the Christ. You see it? They're going to properly teach, yeah, Jesus is Christ. I think that's what he's saying here. I used to see it the other way, but it doesn't fulfill it because there's not many people. Even the most new Christian would know, if some guy stands up and says, I'm Jesus Christ, even the most baby Christian would know, you're not Jesus Christ. Nobody falls for that except very, 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 very few people. It happens, and we need to be warned about that. It is a reality. We need to be warned about it. There are people running around saying, I'm Jesus. Well, I mean, that does happen. But that's not the danger I think he's warning us about. I think he's warning us about people that are coming in his name, correctly teaching Jesus is the Christ, but they're deceivers. See, that opens it up to, well, yeah, that makes sense. That's what we're seeing in the church today, in the churches. People correctly saying Jesus is Christ. Sure, Jesus is the Christ. They're coming in his name, but they're deceiving people. How? They're teaching false doctrines. They're teaching false things. And so we're going to learn how to deal with the deception, all right? Again, our first point I've already made, it's up to us to do something about it. It's up to us to make sure we do something. What do we know we're supposed to do? Well, Jesus said, take heed. This word is also in Colossians 2:8, the same word as beware. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. It's the same. So take heed is the same as the word beware. What does take heed or beware mean in the Greek? It means to see, to look, to discern. In other words, we're to constantly be seeing and discerning, to constantly be looking for what is true and what is not true. In other words, the enemy has placed people throughout the world that are traps, that are trying to trap people, trying to trap Christians into false doctrines. They'll teach some right things. Yeah, Jesus is Christ, and I'm a Christian, and I'm teaching in his name. But they're deceivers. They're pulling people into lies and deception. So we are to what? Beware or take heed to see, to discern. Again, the onus is on us. We have to do the work. We can't be spiritually lazy. We have to open up the Bible for ourselves and believe the truth of God's word so that we're not deceived. I can promise you, if you don't know your Bible, you are already deceived. You are already deceived. The more you know of the Bible, the more that deception is broken off your mind. And you start to see the truth and see the world in a whole different way. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that comes through the truth of God's word. The only way to counter untruth is with truth. And that's what breaks the deception. That's what, you can see the trap before you get there. You'll never step on the trap because you can see it because Jesus warned you about it or the Bible warned you about it. And so this is why it's so important that, of course, we get in our Bible and read the truth for ourselves. Many shall come in my name, claiming to be sent by the Lord, saying, I am Christ, correctly teaching Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. This tells me in the last days, many are not going to see this trap because many are going to fall into it. Jesus tells us many are going to fall into this trap and will not see this trap coming. Why? Because they don't know their Bible. So, Scripture in 1 John 4:1 says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, in other words, test them, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. This word try means to test, to analyze, to approve, to examine. We are to test. So these false Christians and false prophets and so forth are operating under a spirit, and we are to try the spirit. We are to test and examine and analyze, what are they teaching? What is their fruit? What is their lifestyle? As we examine these things, we'll be able to discern, okay, they're not teaching the truth, right? So how do we do this? Well, also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One. All right, we don't use that word unction. It's kind of a King James word. But you have an unction from the Holy One. I'll explain it in a second. And you know all things, and I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So this word unction, I looked it up just to make sure I got it right, means anointing, something that's rubbed in or ointed, the oil of anointing, ointment. All right, well, what's that talking about? Well, it's a reference to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet would come along and anoint the king to be the king, or would anoint a prophet to be a prophet, or anoint the priest to be a priest. Well, in the New Testament, all of God's people are anointed. All of God's people are anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. We all have the Spirit of truth residing in us. See, because we have the Spirit of truth, we will not fall for the deceptions. Now we can, if we're not diligent, to take heed, to beware, to see, but we have the Spirit of God. So again, I'm talking about, how are we to test the spirits? Number one, he says, by the anointing. In other words, by the Holy Spirit of God, you can test whether someone's operating under a correct spirit or an incorrect spirit. You ever get that feeling when someone is ministering, it's like, something's not right. I don't know what it is. They're even saying the right things technically, but it's just, something's off. You ever listen to people like that? I mean, there's a lot of people like that. But then as you start to listen to them longer and longer, you'll say, oh, then they start teaching, oh, this is wrong and this is wrong. You just have to listen to them over a long time. But you already know right off the bat, there's something not right there. That's the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit teaching us there's something not right. And we need to listen to that. There's an anointing. How do we test the spirits? Well, you got the Holy Spirit. You need to abide by the Holy, listen to that Holy Spirit that's telling you something's not right. Right? So he says, you have an unction from the Holy One. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, the anointing who is in you. And if you've been filled with this Holy Spirit, he is on you. He's anointed you for service. You know all things. Now that's another phrase that we need to be careful of. We don't know all things, right? We're not all knowing like God. So it's not the best translation. Vincent's Word Studies says it this way. Instead of "you know all things," the best text reads, "you all know," which changes everything. "You all know," in which case the connection is with the following clause, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it." So you put it all together. You all know I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. So that's according to the Greek scholar Vincent. You can look that up yourself. Don't take my word for it. So it's not saying that you know everything, all right? Anybody here a know-it-all? I know everything there is to know. No, it couldn't possibly mean that, right? So it's just simply saying you know the truth. Christians who've been born again, who've learned the word of God, know the truth. You've heard the truth. You believe the truth. You know the truth. He's telling the disciples here, his church, you know the truth, okay? So that's all he's saying. So how do we test these false spirits, these false Christians, these false prophets that have gone into the world? We have an unction or the anointing, and we have the truth. We test it against the word of God. Listen, obviously, to what they're saying and say, well, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about what they're teaching? First, you'll have an unction and a knowing on the inside, but then you always examine it by written scriptures properly interpreted. Okay? So I'm going back to Matthew 24 again. Jesus tells us there's many false prophets. There's many people that are coming in my name, correctly teaching that Jesus is the Christ, but they're deceivers, right? Verse 11, Matthew 24, 11, many false prophets shall arise, and here's the tragedy, shall deceive many. Many, that tells me many don't know their Bibles. That's why we have, thank God, we have Bibles that are distributed throughout the world, but they're sitting on coffee tables. People don't know them. People don't know the book, and they have it in their house. They have it on their coffee table. It's collecting dust. I know it is because the Bible, Jesus just said it is. Many will be deceived. Make sure you know your Bible. Again, it's great that your pastor knows the Bible. But what about you? We have to know the Bible for ourselves. All of you do. It's prophesied many will be deceived. I'm going to jump down to verse 23. I'm still in Matthew 24, Jesus telling about the end days. Verse 23, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ. So there are false people coming to be claiming to be, a Christ. They're here. False religions have been created out of them. False prophets. And here it is. They shall show great signs and wonders. What? The devil can do signs and wonders? Yeah. According to the Bible, he sure can. Some of this spooky supernatural stuff is real. It isn't just fake. The devil has the power to do some signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Again, Jesus is telling you a trap is coming. I'm telling you ahead of time. I've told you before. Verse 26, wherefore they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in a secret chamber. He's in some hidden place. Believe it not. I want to tell you, Jesus is not going to walk on the earth again like he came the first time, born of the Virgin Mary and all this stuff. Okay, that ain't going to happen again. The next time he comes back, he's going to be in the sky. None of us should ever be deceived by a man walking on the earth claiming to be Jesus Christ. That is just completely the opposite of what the scripture teaches us. Okay, he is not going to walk on the earth again. I mean, once he comes back, he's going to rule on the earth. But the next time we see him, he'll be in the sky coming with all the saints and the angels and so forth. Okay, he is not going to be walking the earth like a man, like we saw him come the first time. But what's interesting is signs and wonders, that there's going to be signs and wonders performed by false prophets, false teachers and so forth. Great signs and wonders, it says, megas, great signs and wonders. We know, of course, Jesus did signs and wonders. Over there in Acts 22, it talks about Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs that God did in the midst of you. The church did and is to be doing these things as well. Acts 4:30 says, by stretching forth your hands to heal, that signs and wonders might be done in the name or by the name of thy holy child, Jesus Christ. It was talking about how the church is also doing signs and wonders. We saw them throughout the book of Acts. They're doing signs and wonders, right? But signs and wonders alone are not an endorsement by God, because we see here that the false prophet, we're studying the book of Revelation on our Wednesday night Bible classes. Make sure you're here or at least listening to that online. That's going to be important so you're not deceived in these last days, is learn the book of Revelation. Well, that's so hard to understand. Well, that's why we're explaining it to you verse by verse so that you are not deceived. Every one of you should be listening to that. Every one of you. Well, I don't like that. It's scary. Okay, there is some bad stuff happening. There's no question about that, but you still need to be aware of it. It's in your Bible for a reason. It's for you to know, right? You don't get to pick and choose. Well, I like this stuff, but not that stuff. That's not how the Word of God works. There's a Bible verse in Psalm 119, verse 60. It says, the sum of your Word is truth. And in other words, all of it is meant to be together for us to understand. We don't get to pick and choose. The sum of your word is truth. So we have to read the book of Revelation. And by the Spirit of God, we can understand it. But here's my point. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14 talks about a false prophet who's also going to be doing signs and wonders, right? He does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men and deceives, that's the key word this morning, deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, so he can do signs, wonders, and miracles, which he has the power to do in the sight of the beast. The Antichrist himself, in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, right? So the false prophet's going to be doing signs and wonders. The Antichrist is doing signs and wonders. Don't follow after signs and wonders. They're not a clue of you know, God's blessing and God's endorsement of whoever's doing them. The devil can do them too. The question is, are they preaching and teaching the truth of the Bible? That's the big clue. And what is the fruit of their life? You shall know them by their fruit. What's their lifestyle? What are they living? We have an anointing and we have the truth. We have the Bible. So we should not fall for any trap. John chapter 8, Jesus said unto those which believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Not you might know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I think the biggest word there that I had done to learn is the word if. If you continue in my word. Not if you hear it one time and say, oh, that's great, but you don't continue in it. You know, many people like to kind of date the Bible instead of marry the Bible. They're like, I'll occasionally look at it. I'll occasionally go to church and hear a sermon. That's about the extent of their Christianity. I'll occasionally open it up every once or twice a month or something. That's dating the Bible. No, we're to marry the Bible. We are to become intimately acquainted with God's word. Again, I promise you, if you do not know the Bible, you're already deceived. And it's your job, not your pastor's job, it's your job to break the deception by taking heed, by being aware, by seeing the truth of scriptures yourself. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. This is the key, obviously, to not being deceived, is to knowing the truth. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you continuing in God's word every day? I mean, I don't see any source of truth on this entire planet. So why would I look all over the place at everything going on in the world but not spend time in the Bible? Because the Bible is the truth, the only truth here. It is the word of God. And we have it. We have it freely, thank God, in this nation. It is our choice. If means it's your choice. If you continue, not date the word of God, but intimately be acquainted with the word of God, then are you my disciples. Jesus, when he prayed for the church, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Bible is the truth of God's word. Amen? You know, I took all kinds of classes. I went to college, and I took a psychology class, and there wasn't truth in that. I took a philosophy class. There's no truth in that. I've studied all kinds of religions throughout the world, and there's no truth in them. But I've lived going on 45 years as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And I know, not just in my head, but through my own experience of 45 years of walking with Christ, the Bible is the truth. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I've tested it, and I've tried it out. It is truth that you can put all your weight upon. You can depend on the Word of God with everything you have. And I strongly suggest you do so, because everything is going to be shaken very soon. And if you're not standing on the rock of this Word of God, you're going to be shaken too. But if you're on the Word of God, the whole world's going to shake and fall apart. The economics, political systems, governments, all this stuff that people have faith in. It's all going to go away and be shaken. But if you're on the Word of God, you'll still be standing in the end. And we're the only ones that are going to be standing. Those that put their faith in the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh among us. And close with one more scripture. It says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So again, how are we to test spirits? How are we to be aware? Test the spirits by the unction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Word of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Thank God. God is not holding back. He wants you to know the truth. Why? It's so important. It's crucial that you not be deceived in these last days. He wants you to know all of it so that you're not caught up into any deception in this world. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He's hearing from God the Father, and he shall show you things to come. Praise God. And he has, through scriptures and other ways, by the Spirit, he's showing us things to come. But it is by the unction, by the Holy Ghost in us, we can know things are right or wrong, and also by the written scriptures, by the Word and by the Spirit. So take heed. Jesus warned us. It's on you to do it. Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I pray that you're not part of that group of many that are going to be deceived, but you are going to be people of the Word, people of Scripture. Beware, again, means to take a look at and to discern, to see. What are we seeing? We're trying to see the truth of God's Word, seeing the Scriptures, so that we also will see, oh, there's a trap coming, and not fall in the trap. If you disregard the Bible, you just casually read it, casually come to church, you're going to fall in a trap. I 100% guarantee it. Things are unfortunately only going to get worse as far as deception and the things happening in this world. It's only going to get worse. But it's not anything for us to be afraid of, because we know the truth. When you know the truth, you're not afraid. You're like, fine, I know what the Bible says now. I'm not afraid of the craziness that's happening in the world. Praise God. I'm going to be standing on the rock. When all is said and done, I'm still going to be standing. Praise God, because I'm in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for this Word that you have given us. We thank you for the written scriptures. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the unction that is inside each and every believer in Christ Jesus, so that we can test the spirits, try the spirits, and not be deceived and not fall into the traps that many is prophesied to fall into. God, I just pray, all under the sound of my voice, if they haven't made Jesus Lord of their life, that they would call out on you right now. You can do so right now, wherever you are. Call on the name of the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to fall for the traps that are coming in these last days. I repent for my sin. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, Savior of my life. I know he died on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day. I put my faith in him, my trust in him, and want him to be Lord over all my life. Call on him right now, and he will save you. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you and make you a whole new creation. And your eternity is with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we are so thankful that we have the Word of God to to know it, to be able to read it, to have the Lord illuminate it in our hearts so that we won't be deceived and that we won't be afraid of these times and the things that are going on. So we do thank you so much for being with us this morning. Just a few announcements. Of course, if you haven't had a chance to give, we do need your help. So please give your tithe. And thank you so much for your support for the projectors. We do have the screens working. So thank you for giving to that. If you know anybody that's in need of a food basket, see anyone at the lobby welcome center, you know, if you want to donate anything towards it, or if you know somebody that actually needs a basket. And we are scheduling for baptism as well. So if you want to be baptized or want some information about that, just see Pastor Taylor after service and he'll give you the information for that. Well, again, we do thank you for being with us this morning. We do have the 11 o'clock service after this. So come on back and you are dismissed.